And as a root out of the dry ground, he hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of all of us. He was opposed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and was made intercession for the transgressors. What a wonderful part of the scripture to read. 700 years before Jesus was born, Isaiah wrote this. 700 years. And to the matter of fact of what happened to Jesus. And today, a lot of people think that Jesus is a good man, that Jesus was a prophet. But you know, Jesus is the Son of the living God. And it's important that we all know that, because it's so important to us that we know this because of what Jesus went through before he was crucified with the scourging. And then crucified as a criminal, as Isaiah said. He was numbered with the transgressors, with the criminals. Here, a perfect man, the Son of God, was numbered and treated like a criminal. Because man could not accept who Jesus was. Their zeal for their own doctrine, their zeal for their own religion, held them back from worshiping Jesus. So they killed him. But he resurrected again by his own power. And I like to just go to the cross. I like to go to Mount Calvary. And there's, I can start in Luke chapter 23. And starting in verse 35, we can see how people are today as compared with the people who were standing there at the cross watching all this take place. The Son of God being treated as a criminal. So starting in verse 35 of Luke 23. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. They were mocking Jesus. They were making fun of him. The thing is, they didn't know that if he wanted to, he could have come down from that cross. But you see, he persevered for us. He stayed on the cross. But they were making fun of him. Oh, you're the Christ? You're our Messiah? Well, come down from there. Let's see so you can show everybody. Then maybe we'll worship you. But no, Jesus again was silent. He didn't pay attention to what they were saying. His goal was to stay on that cross and to rise again in 3 days. God's plan of salvation that was made so many years before was coming to fruition right here on this Mount Calvary. So as we look here, excuse me, and in verse 36, and his soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar to drink. So here they were mocking him also. They didn't even know Jesus. They probably never saw him before this day when they were beating him and leading him up this road to be crucified, which they did so well. They just knew they had a Jew they had to crucify that day with two others. So they were making fun of him. They caught on to the crowd. Isn't it like today that the crowd starts something and then people make a decision to go with the crowd because they don't want to be different. They don't want to be seen as being different. Christians today, we should be different. We should look different. We should talk different. We should do different. You see, being a Christian, I believe, is a verb more than it is a noun. Doing as Christ would want us to do. But the crowd, even today, they put down Jesus. They make fun of Jesus. They make fun of born-again Christians because we're not following the crowd. And the same thing happened here. If we were hanging on a cross there and we heard all this, I'm sure that it would affect us. But it didn't affect Jesus because he's God. So he continued to hang there. And the soldiers continue here and saying that if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. Save thyself. Well, Jesus didn't need saved. He never sinned. The ones who need saved were the ones telling him to save himself. Jesus always was, and he always will be. So what they were saying, really, in theology, Christian theology, is really kind of ridiculous. Because he didn't need saving. The ones who did were mocking him. And also to make it even, they thought, worse for Jesus to continue the mocking. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. So they put this plaque or superscription above Jesus. But what they didn't know is that it was true. He is the King of the Jews. But he is also the king of those who we call king. He is our king also. So what they were mocking Jesus really turns out to be true. They just didn't know it. And there's so many people today who mock and they just don't know. So we need to tell people what happened that day. We need to know ourselves what happened that day. It wasn't all cut and dried like we hear a lot of times a message we read. But then what really happened that day was really amazing. It was amazing in such that people do not care. People do not love. People just want to be with everybody else who are like them. So we need to be different. We need to go to those people and tell them about Jesus. How else are they going to hear? You see, faith in Christ comes by hearing, but then hearing by the Word of God. So we must, as Christians today, we must know the Word of God so we can tell somebody about Jesus so their faith can be built up in Jesus. We didn't come up with this plan of telling people. It's right in God's Word. To let people know that he is the Son of the living God. It's in God's Word. And that's what we need to know Scripture. So Jesus said, be ready in an instant to tell people about him. That means we must know and also that the Holy Spirit will lead and direct us at that last instant. Be praying that God puts somebody in front of you to tell, so you can tell them about Jesus, someone who needs to know. Don't pray that he doesn't bring anybody to you because you don't know what to say or you're too shy or backward. Pray that God will bring somebody to you that you can let them know about Jesus. Because, you know, we need to love. And we can't love anybody unless we tell them about Jesus. Because we don't love them enough to keep them out of a burning hell. So if we love somebody, we tell them about Jesus so they can have the opportunity to say, yes, Jesus, I believe. Yes, Jesus, forgive my sins. So they too can go to heaven. And that's what is truly love. Christian love is telling others about Jesus to give them the opportunity to come to the Lord. We all had to hear, for those of us who are truly Christians, we had to hear the same way. In church or some other place, somebody telling us about Jesus. And that's what we need to be as Christians today, because it's not getting any easier out in the world, I think, as we all know. The world is not getting any better. And Isaiah said that the people are doing what they want to do in their own mind. They think what is right is in their own mind, not what God says. And look at today, how so many things are made right that God calls sin. Man with man and woman with woman and man becoming a woman and a woman becoming a man and all these things that God says is an abomination, that it is a sin. But society today says it's good. But you see, they have to hear that it's not good. It's not right. Just because you think it doesn't make it right. Just because you've heard of Jesus doesn't make that person a Christian. Believing in Jesus makes a person a Christian and with an eternal home in heaven. Now, as we continue here, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. So here this man, when he's dying in a few hours, he's mocking Jesus. He's catching up with the crowd and with the Roman soldiers, and he's saying, if you are who you say you are, save yourself. Oh, save us too. I don't want to die. You know, if we don't know God and we're doing sinning most of our lives, then we don't want to die because we don't know the outcome. We hear the outcome, but we don't know. We don't surely don't want to die because what happens to me? What happens to my spirit, to my mind? So he didn't want to die, so he called on Jesus mockingly, save yourself, save us, just like the Pharisees down here are saying, save yourself. So here, one of the malefactors or criminals, a thief is sometimes called, he's making fun of Jesus, not accepting Jesus, but deriding him, belittling him. Making it worse for Jesus, he thinks, because he doesn't know who Jesus is. But in verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? So here is a thief, again, with just a few hours to live, with Jesus in the middle of these two malefactors, these two criminals. And he's saying, on this side, don't you fear mocking God at this time? Don't you fear who this man might be? Aren't you afraid of your soul? Aren't you afraid of hell? But this criminal here, apparently, he was afraid. He was afraid. And he wasn't going to say anything bad about this good man hanging here between them. And I know he thinks he's a good man because in the next verse he says it. He's done nothing wrong. In 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. this man here, who is not opening his mouth, who is not arguing with everybody mocking him, he has done nothing amiss. He has done nothing wrong. So why are you making fun of him? You are in the same situation. In a few hours, you're going to be dead. I'm going to be dead. And this man, Jesus, is going to be dead also. So here, he has, a little bit of common sense hanging here on a cross in all this pain and agony, the same pain and agony that Jesus is feeling at this time. So as he continues in verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. First, he says that Jesus has done nothing wrong. Second, he says, Lord, and to a Jewish man, there is one Lord. That's God, Jehovah. That's Jesus. And he called him Lord. Now, if he didn't believe that Jesus was God, he wouldn't have called him Lord. That would be the ultimate blaspheming against God. When you're dying and you call somebody Lord, they're hanging beside you in the same condemnation. But no, he calls him Lord. But he says, remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What kingdom? He didn't know if Jesus' kingdom was here on earth or in heaven or where it was. But you know what he wanted? He wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to be with Jesus. So in all these words that he says, he's saying, Lord, I believe because I want you to remember me so I can be with you. I want to be with you in your kingdom. So he had a pretty good understanding, I think, because of the Holy Spirit telling him, like the Holy Spirit told Peter, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's telling him, this is Jesus, Lord, Lord. So we can look now here, this man has hope. This man has hope, but the other man, mocking, not caring, just wants to die, get rid of the pain and agony, not worried about what happens when he takes his last breath. Two completely different situations here. Now, this is important because both of them hanging there knew Jesus' name. They both knew of Jesus, but only one accepted him. Only one accepted him. Just hearing the name of Jesus without knowing Jesus is inaction, and inaction doesn't make us born again. So we not only have to know the name of Jesus, we need to know Jesus and who he is. And we all know now as Christians that he is our Lord and Savior, that he is one of the three persons of the Godhead. One of these men has figured it out. See, he wants to be with Jesus. You know, Paul was the same way. He says, to live is Christ, but to what? Die is gain. Paul wasn't afraid to die, but he wasn't afraid to live for Christ either. We need to have the same heart as Paul when it comes to that. Living for Christ means telling people about Christ because he said, go and tell. Go and tell. We need to go and tell. We need to tell our families. We need to tell our neighbors and our friends without hesitation and with full confidence that they need Jesus Christ. And if they don't know Jesus, let them know who Jesus is. So as we look here, Jesus hanging there in all this pain and agony between these two criminals, looking at this man said, remember me when you come into your kingdom? What's Jesus say to a criminal who may have been a criminal all of his life? We don't know. Jesus, did he look at him and say, well, you're not good enough? Did he look at him and say, well, I would take you to my kingdom, but you don't have time to be baptized. You don't have time to learn the scriptures. You don't have time to learn church doctrine. That's not what Jesus told him. As we look here in this very special verse, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. How comforting of words to a man who lived without God all of his life to know that today I'm going to be in paradise. I don't have to go to that burning hell. I can be in paradise because I believe Jesus is the Son of the living God. I believe that Jesus will save me. And you see, he didn't have time to go get baptized, did he? And we put a lot of emphasis on baptism, which we need to do, but it's not mandatory for salvation. Salvation is through Jesus Christ and him alone. The song, and I love it so well, is in Christ alone, is what we need to live by. In Christ alone for our salvation and for putting his name out there. In him alone. But we can look at this and shall be with me today in paradise. He didn't have time to go learn doctrine, did he? He didn't have time to read scriptures, but he had time to believe in Jesus. And he believed. And he believed. And Jesus didn't say anything else except today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Which should give good warm feelings to us, because when we close our eyes for the last time, how long do we have to wait to go to heaven? Paul says when we close our eyes here on earth, we open our eyes in heaven. Jesus says here, today you shall be with me in paradise. So we don't have to go somewhere and be wait to be prayed out of. We don't have to go somewhere and wait for Jesus. When we close our eyes, we'll be with Jesus. And I'm looking forward to that day, any day when Jesus calls me home, that I'll see Jesus. And I'm sure that we all want to see Jesus, not before the judgment throne, but we want to see Jesus in all his glory. And we want to see Jesus walking through heaven to us as we enter and have him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's the words that I want to hear. And I pray he gives me the strength to carry on, to persevere. Persevere. As he did on the cross. He didn't give up. He went all the way. And when he said, it is finished on the cross, he didn't mean that the world was finished. He meant that his time here on earth, being the means of salvation, was completed. His time was completed for us. The way of salvation is finished in Jesus Christ. He finished everything according to God's plan that was founded so many years before. Can we look at Jesus here on the cross in all of his pain and agony and look at him and have him here and hear him say to us, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Those are beautiful words. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So here the one who claimed Jesus will be in paradise. But the other, as far as we know, as far as Scripture tells us, without assuming anything, is not in heaven. Because he didn't accept Jesus according to Scripture. So he's going to be alive forever, but not with the other transgressor. He's going to be away from God. And it's going to be a long eternity for that person. But the same holds true today. If we don't accept Jesus, it's going to be a long eternity for those of us who won't capitulate and turn around and repent and go to Jesus. Because, as I said, the malefactor did not have time to go to church. And a lot of people think that going to church, they'll be okay. Or I'm going to do a lot of good works, I'll be okay. It's believing in Jesus Christ and Him alone makes us okay. We all want to go to heaven. And just as this malefactor knows now, then we know now that it's through Jesus Christ. And that He loves us. This story of the cross shows so much love and mercy and grace and kindness for this individual here hanging on the cross. But it's the same message to us. The same message. God has shown love and grace and mercy to each and every one of us. Some of us don't know it. Some of us don't realize it. But God loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Those are Jesus' words, not mine. John 3:16. So today, if you are not sure, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you say, well, I think I have, or I was baptized as an infant or younger, or I've gone to church all my life, or I'm good, I'm really good. But you see, none of us are good enough to go to heaven without Jesus Christ. My righteousness is only the righteousness of Christ. And for anybody that wants to go to heaven, that is the only righteousness which will count. So today, accept Jesus Christ as this thief on the cross accepted Jesus, knowing full well who He is. Don't rely on anything else to go to heaven, because nothing else will get you there. Because Jesus also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. A little strong here today, but maybe God wanted us to hear a message about His Son and what He really did for us and what He can really do for us, because He's the only one who can save us. Today, look and think, am I truly saved? Because it's important. It is important. Now, the altar is always open. If you want to come up to the altar and ask God to forgive your sins and come into your heart, what a day that will be. Because you'll see Jesus. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. So today, in your heart, ask Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive your sins, and then live according to His word and His word only. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You now for being with us. We want to thank You for Your word, which is so bold, Father, and it's like a two-edged sword that cuts, Father. And some of us don't want to hear that there is a hell. And some of us don't want to hear that we need to accept Jesus to go to heaven to be with You. But Father, it is Your plan from days of old, from eternity, that we need to accept Jesus Christ, Your Son, as our Lord and Savior. And Father, today I'm asking that You will just touch a heart here today, or hearts today, Father, whom You are looking to save, that they will look to You for that salvation, that they will agree that, yes, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that you will be with us as we leave here today, keeping our mind of Jesus on the cross, of this other thief on the cross who wanted to live forever. Keep us strong in your word. Keep us strong in your love, Father. And I ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, and as Robert asked me to close, and well, that was my closing prayer. But another prayer of mine is that we go and tell somebody, that we go let other people know about Jesus, what he's done for you, what he can do for them if they only truly believed. He's not condemning them for to be living in hell. They're condemning themselves for not believing in him. So go and tell. Let people know about Jesus. Thank you.